Newsroom Footy, hosted by me, Sam Wykes,
and me, Tenetau Aruna. Each week, we'll bring you Pacific Islander stories from on and off the rugby league and rugby union field.
We'll have plenty of special guests, tales from the past, tackle the big topics of today, and look forward to the next-gen Nijin Footy Stars.
Nijin Footy. Nijin Footy.
Listen to Nijin Footy on your favourite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Malola Lee and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Sam Wykes and here we go again, sharing the latest sports news and updates from across the Pacific. And to help me today, I have our number one sports journalist in PNG. Hello and welcome to Jamie Huddle.
Hello, Sam. It's been a couple of weeks, but it's great to be back on the show.
Oh, it's good to have you back. You must be busy in PNG with all of the PAC champs that's been happening, as well as the Brisbane Broncos, the men's and the women's team were over there celebrating their success in both competitions. How have the parades been over there?
Well, it's really wild out here, especially with, Brisbane Broncos coming to Papua New Guinea, and Papua New Guinea fans just going wild because, you know, rugby league is the number one sport here in the country. So, yeah, obviously a lot to celebrate apart from the Pacific Championships that's currently happening.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And just seeing some of the footage of those parades, I saw, I think it was Adam Reynolds and someone, Ezra Mam, I think, holding up the trophy nice and tall. And when they panned it out to the crowd, I swear it looked like the people just flooded. You couldn't even see the cars. Like, you could only see the rooftop of all the cars. There were that many people. Fantastic scenes. And I've got no doubt we'll be talking more about that later on in the show. But we were also supposed to be joined by Fia Leikong. But unfortunately, she's having some difficulties with her internet and trying to connect through. But we will still have some of her stories that she's brought to us. But let's get to what's coming up on the show. Today, we're going to meet Tongan Dutch basketballer who represents Fiji, Moana Liebritz, who is passionate about seeing more women in the game, both on and off the court.
Well, and I think women are starting to slowly come in. We've also had our first female referees that have gone to our previous competitions. And I think it's a great start.
You also get to know the man behind the PNG Kumul's success at the Pacific Championships over the weekend. We're going to touch base with Jason Demetrio.
That put a lot of pressure on our middle forwards, but overall, you know, there were some good signs out there and we'll be better for it next week.
And also you'll hear from rugby union superstar Ashley Balu, who has a newfound sense of passion and confidence through her hard work over the year.
What I got out of those three teams is just own yourself. You can go far if you put your mind to it. Mm. And hard work pays off.
Plus, you'll hear news in the world of touch football, rugby league, soccer, and, of course, our usual fun and games. So let's go.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Yes, here on Fresh Off the Field, you'll hear sports stories galore. And at the top of the show, we do like to start big. So let's see what's floating around on
Coconut Wireless.
The Coconut Wireless is where we discuss the biggest news stories in your town. It's the sport or event or athlete that has everyone talking and the whole country has an opinion on. And if it's making waves, it'll be on the Coconut Wireless. And Jamie, it's only you today, so I'm going to start with you. What's the talk of the town in PNG?
In PNG, obviously, we just talked about the Brisbane Broncos visit here. This year's premiership winners in NRL and NRLW, Brisbane Broncos, started their trophy tour visit here in Port Moresby over the weekend, making their first stop in Papua New Guinea. This is part of their trophy tour schedule as it continues in Queensland as of tomorrow. Now, the trophy's first appearance at the Jacksons International Airport saw hundreds of Broncos supporters rally at the airport to welcome their favorite NRL team to Papua New Guinea. And the trophies were accompanied by the winning captain, captain, of course, the one and only Adam Reynolds, Ben Hunt and Ezra Mam among the female teammates. Now, they were able to showcase the trophies to Broncos fans in popular hotspot areas in Port Moresby prior to the visit to the National Football Stadium on Saturday. The trophy made a tour around the stadium witnessed by more than 11,000 fans ahead of the Pacific Championship week two match that was between the PNG Kumuls and the Cook Island Aitus. Now, this will be the second NRL team to bring a trophy tour to Papua New Guinea after the North Queensland Cowboys back in 2015, obviously winning against the Brisbane Broncos. So Broncos tour to Papua New Guinea also continues to strengthen the growth of their community engagement in Papua New Guinea, as they have done in the last couple of years. Following this tour in Port Moresby, Reynolds and his team travelled up to engage with fans in Hela, Eastern and Western Highlands province before departing for Australia. Now, meanwhile, there were a lot of speculations as well surrounding who funded the trip to Papua New Guinea. However, Brisbane Broncos released a statement just yesterday, clarifying that one of the club's major sponsors, Kia Tasman, was the official sponsor for the trophy tour. And regardless of what's been the speculations going around here in Papua New Guinea, fans still say that Broncos' second home will always be here in Papua New Guinea, even when we welcome the PNG Chiefs into NRL come 2028.
There's always things you can control and what you can't control. And the things that happen behind the scenes, they're things that a lot of people can't control. But the main thing is that the people that have been able to witness and love and adore the Brisbane Broncos is them actually being in PNG. And when you see those images, Jamie, when you see how happy it made everyone, like, how do you put that into words to describe what it actually means to have the NRLW team, the Brisbane Broncos, and the men's team showcasing the most prestigious award in club football, being the NRL and NRLW? Like, what does that mean to the people?
Look, like I said, Brisbane Broncos' second home is here in Papua New Guinea. And from a personal experience, I can tell you that my granddad, late granddad, was a Broncos fan. So if we supported the wrong team and Broncos lost, we slept on the veranda of his house. Brisbane Broncos, fan base is here in Papua New Guinea. Everyone loves the Broncos.
And do you think, I know you said there was 11,000 fans that showed up, have the Broncos adopted even more fans now since going over there?
You know, there's, like I said, even if you're not a supporter, Broncos will always have a home because, you know, prior to the trophy tour here in Papua New Guinea, they've always visited Papua New Guinea to engage in community sports engagements here and, you know, any other programs through the inclusion program with BSB. So it's always great to see that NRL stars make time to come and engage with their fans here in Papua New Guinea. So I think they have the biggest following here in Papua New Guinea.
Oh, you love to see it and you love to hear about it. Outstanding work, and I'm sure there's more to come later on in years to come as well with the PNG Chiefs coming in, and I can't wait to see how that game will go. The PNG Chiefs versus the Broncos, in your mind right now, when you're thinking about that fixture, is there going to be enough seats in the stadium?
I've witnessed a crowd run into the field to shake hands of NRL stars, and I can tell you, if that happens, I'm not sure who's going to support who, but just expect a stadium, a sold-out stadium when that happens.
I love it, love it. Thank you so much, Jamie, for filling us in on what's floating around on the Coconut Wireless.
Fresh off the field. The sporting pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
All right, it's time to find out what other sport is happening across our islands. And, Jamie, we've spoken heavily about rugby league so far, but there are other sports happening. What do you want to share with us?
Well, today we'll be talking about touch football. Obviously, touch football is one of those codes that also contribute in terms of NRL pathway, touch football and rugby league. So here in Papua New Guinea, touch football is growing very, very strong, the growth of the code. So one of the top competitions that had its grand final over the weekend was the Corporate Touch Port Moresby competition or grand final, which saw the on-track Solution Tribes Touch Footy Club dominate in the final, winning 3 out of 4 titles. And I spoke to one of the senior players who's also PNG Touch footy veteran, Eugene Ecker, and, you know, asking him about the feeling of winning three out of four titles. And he said it was a special moment having all of the four divisions, including the junior boys, open men's, open women's, and the open mix division make the finals. The open men's dominated and remained undefeated for another season. I think this is the 5th or 6th title they've won in the grand final appearance after a strong performance against the number one rivals, FH Parapela. Now, this year also saw one of the clubs, some of the club's junior development players who were recently elevated into this open men's team after years of hard work and dedication. So Eka said he was really proud of the progress they've made, especially bringing building the junior players into the elite squad to win this grand final. Now, for the open women's tribes, open women's side, they finally defeated Parapela for the first time in a couple of years when both teams met in the finals. The club had the services of 2 PNG veterans, Grace Kauba and Maria Alu, who've been part of the club since its establishment and led them to victory. But the impressive result came from building a team consisting of very young girls or women, despite not having a girls development player pathway in the CTPM competition. And from the women's open women's match, Ida Alu, who also happens to be a sister to the PNG veteran Maria Alu, a rising star in this competition, was the one to look out for in this match. She was the player of the tournament and also one of our rising stars, not just in touch footy, but in rugby league. So we're expecting to see her, one day wear the PNG jersey. She was very impressive in that finals. Now, meanwhile, Tribes also had a strong combination of the best men's and women's player combined to compete in the open women's open mix rather side, which took out the grand final title against the BSP Touch Footy Club. And despite the junior boys losing to VC Wanderers, Eka is confident that the junior development pathway remains a priority, as they've seen players graduate from that pathway into the open divisions or future PNG elite squad, and would continue to do the same for the women's in the footy club moving forward.
Touch football is absolutely a fantastic pathway into rugby league and rugby union, and just in general for anyone that wants to play and stay connected to the game and not have to want to tackle or run into anyone and make sure it's you can be not on your backside, getting bumped off or anything like that. That's what I love about touch footy. And it just develops so many skills that transfer into the games and so inclusive. So I love that that's happening over in PNG. But what else has grabbed your attention from across the Pacific?
Now, apart from rugby league, the Pacific Champs that's currently happening and building a lot of, enthusiasm. We have the 2025 Melanesia Spearhead Group, or the MSG Prime Minister's Cup, set to kick off 2 weeks from now as the defending champions, Papua New Guinea play host here in Port Moresby. And to mark 50 years of independence celebrations here in Papua New Guinea, there will be 2 exhibition matches for the first time to be played in Lae, which is the second home of football in the country. Now, this year's MSG Cup is also extra special with the inclusion of the women's inaugural MSG Cup. And the competing teams includes last year's host, Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, Fiji, New Caledonia, and the new host, Papua New Guinea. Now, PNG Football Association recently issued a fixed match schedule confirming 2 groups for each of the division. And the men's group A consists of New Caledonia, Solomon Islands, and PNG Team Gold, while the group B consists of Fiji, Vanuatu, and PNG Team Red. Now, PNG has 2 teams, one consisting, as I mentioned, one consisting of the elite squad, that's the PNG Gold, led by the veteran striker Raymond Gunemba. And the other is more of a development side taking on this challenge, new players just making their mark in the development, PNG development side. Similar for the Women's MSG Cup, Group A consists of New Caledonia, Vanuatu and PNG, while Group B also features PNG among Solomon Islands and Fiji. Now, the exhibition match I mentioned earlier will see PNG Gold, both men and women, take on Solomon Islands and New Caledonia, respectively, to showcase the growth of football here in Papua New Guinea. Now, apart from the excitement building around football here in the country as well, so far for the teams, Fiji and PNG, both men's and women's, have named the extended and final squads, while Vanuatu, Solomon Islands, and New Caledonia squads will be announced in due time. So, yeah, really looking forward to this MSG Cup playoffs here in Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, plenty happening on the football front as well. And Fia is not on with us, and I know that she desperately wanted to talk about the Samoa and Tonga game in the Pacific Champs. I'm actually a little bit happy that she's not on here, because she'll be gloating with our producer as well, Tiana, about how good Samoa was in that game. The parades are still going. The flags are still flying and all the Samoans are still cheering everywhere when it comes to that game from last week. But, Jamie, I'm just going to get your thoughts on it. Like, how good was Samoa in that game? Honestly, as a proud Tongan Australian, they were just far too clinical in that game.
Yeah, look, Samoa has been at the best, you know, especially having Payne Haas coming into the squad, Jeremiah Nanai.
Yes, he was a beast,
you know,
out there.
A couple of his key players in NRL making their mark in the Samoan team, just, you know, adding that extra flavor to bring the Samoan, you know, team up. And just by watching a lot of, you know, reels after the game, the crowd in Apia Samoa have gone wild, just flying the flags, you know, on the streets, in their vehicles. There's blue flags everywhere. So, yeah, really exciting news for Samoa.
Yeah, I knew it. I say it every year, but I should be opening a flag store to sell Tongan and Samoan flags. I reckon I'd be a rich man by now. But one player I do want to highlight, though, is Isaiah Yongi. Even though he had a couple of tough lessons in that game, but his athleticism for Tonga in that sixth jersey, he's probably more a fullback, but he looks like a handful to try and stop. Lightning on his feet. He's got a good fend. He looks strong through the hips. So hopefully that game, he's able to connect a little bit better with Isaiah Katoa and unleash their backs. But look, the Tongan men go again this week. They've got 17 points to probably catch, to hopefully beat the Kiwis by that amount so they can face Samoa again in the grand final. But it's going to be a tough ask. But hey, we're in for another big week, and we'll talk more about that on Nijan Footy tomorrow, Nijan Footy Fridays, with Tinadel Arona, who is back from his PNG trip. But Jamie, as always, it's always great to hear about the sport taking place throughout our Pacific Islands. Thank you so much.
Yaman Stapwe.
Yes, it's time to play Gyamun Stupwe, which is Talk Piss and Four, Pick the Lie. And Jamie, look, it's just you today. I know you're running out of things. You're always coming up with three things, but how is that going? How is preparation for Gyamun Stupwe these days when you've done it 100 times?
To be honest, I run out of things to say, so I, you know, go reflect on some of the best memories I have and then just make up points to share with you know, everyone on the show.
maybe go back to one of your very first episodes where you did it and just rinse and repeat those three things, because I wasn't here for that when it was Bobby on. So if you get stuck, maybe go back to that one. But anyway, what have you got for me?
All right, my three Gammon Stop where points. The first one, I recently featured in the Touch Footy Grand Final, the CTPM Touch Footy Grand Final with my club, BSP. Number two, I am currently back home in Gulf Province. And number three, my original favorite Super Rugby team is the Chiefs. Which one is the lie?
You told me that the Western Force was your favorite team and I was your favorite player. Is that not a lie? Is that a lie, or was that the truth when you were telling me that? Why are you laughing so hard?
That's a wild guess.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with the last one. I reckon that's the lie. Oh, no. You do like the Chiefs. Who did you meet that was your favourite player? Is he a Chiefs player or Moana Pacifica player? Oh, now I'm trying to refresh my memory. What was the second one? You're at home.
I'm at home.
You're at home. You are at home because I could hear work being done next door and you told me someone's doing some renovations. So you're at home. So that's the truth. So it's one or three. I am going to go with number three, that the Chiefs was not your favourite Super Rugby team.
Sam, I think you got that wrong.
What?
So it's actually number one. I decided to take a couple of weeks off from work, and I missed out on my grand final appearance with my club, Touch Footy Club, which they lost to the Tribes in the Open Mix final. So, yeah, that was the lie that I didn't play. And the Chiefs are actually the first and my favorite Super Rugby team before I went and
supported the Western Force.
One of Pacifica, so yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The lie was the first one.
The first one, so are you saying that because you didn't play, that's why your team lost? You were the missing link.
The missing link.
Yes.
The link that was not there, yeah.
The link that was not there. Fair enough. Well, there you have it. We learn something new every week.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
All right, it's time to chat to some of the talented people in the Pacific, as well as hearing about the sports results and stories. We always love hearing from everyone involved in the game. So each of us brings in an interview from across the Pacific. And Jamie, this is going to be a fantastic chat, but I'll let you do the honours on who did you chat to this week.
This week I had the opportunity to chat to PNG Kumul's head coach, Jason Demetriou. It was during the post-match conference against the Cook Islands, and I asked him about the Kumul's performance against the Cook Islands Aitus, and this is what he had to say.
But to win is also a special moment, so we want to enjoy it, but at the same time, we've got to be better. You know, the way we end our sets, the field position that we turn the ball over, we've just put ourselves under too much pressure at times, and you know, it's one of those things you speak about our attack and improving it from the PMs, and we did that, but we forgot about the other side of the ball, so there'll be some things to work on through the week, but some of our boys haven't had a game for 6 weeks or a few weeks of playing from England, so they'll be better for the hit-out as well.
The PNG Kumuls led at half-time. What was your message to the boys before they returned in for the second half?
Yeah, it was just to build pressure, build our sets, not try to win the game in the first 10 minutes. Thought the Cookies were struggling a little bit at the back end of that half, and we needed to restart and do that again. And I feel like we did that at the start of the half, but I think we scored, then got a bit loose after that. We're just trying to score every time we got down there. And like I said to them, every time we turned the ball over, they were starting from the middle of the field, and that put a lot of pressure on our middle forwards. But yeah, overall, you know, there were some good signs out there, and we'll be better for it next week. But really happy with our debutants. I thought they were all outstanding today.
Gairo Voro made his Kumul's debut in the halves along with Finley Glare and Cooper Bai. What can you say about this debutant's performance?
Said I thought Gairo was excellent. You know, I thought his defence was outstanding. And you know, sometimes when a guy makes his debut, it's not about the big plays. You just want them to do their job and be error free. And they all did that really well. I thought Maria, for his first game starting at fullback, was outstanding as well. And it was great to see Gairo get a much deserved try at the back end for his efforts today. But you know, they got to realise a step up, I think, as well. And they showed that they can handle it. So that's. That's exciting for them, and Cooper Bai played 60 minutes in the middle of the field, which is very impressive for an 18-year-old. So, he's more than held his hand up today.
What was the key message before the game against the Cook Islands?
Yeah, I think the big thing for us was to get our footy on. We spoke about that a fair bit. You know, we've got so much attacking threat in the team that I wanted to see us move the ball a bit more and have some bodies behind the ball so we can play. And look, I thought we did that really well. I thought we were a constant threat every time we had the ball, whether that be through the middle or on the edges. And I just didn't think we ended our sets the way we could, which was giving the Cookies a chance to get their numbers behind the ball and put pressure on us through the middle. So we just weren't patient enough, I thought, particularly the second half when we had the win behind us. And but I don't want to take anything away from the Cookies as well. I thought they were outstanding. And I watched, obviously, as coaches, we watched the video from last week, and I thought the scoreline didn't suggest how well the Cookies played against Fiji, particularly in the second half. I thought they were the better side. So they definitely asked a lot of questions, and you know, Carmichael and the country can be proud of their performance.
Moving forward, what will we be expecting from the team, especially with the match against the Fiji Butties next weekend?
Yeah, I think for us, we'll just review this game and have a good look at the areas we know we can be better at. You know, there's a few moments in games where I think we can be a bit tighter and execute a bit better, but we're going to have to get our discipline right. You know, we can't be giving away yardage penalties, and we can't be turning the ball over as much as we did today, because they got, you know, if they've got strike like Buller and guys like that, they're going to cause you problems. So, like I said, I'm happy with the win, but more looking forward to having a positive week next week. And yeah, it'll be a big game next week. We'll be ready for it.
With Liam Horn now signed to the Leigh Leopards in the Super League, this increases the number of PNG Kumuls players. How does this help prepare our team leading up to next year's Rugby World Cup?
Yeah, the more players we get with experience at Super League or NRL level, the better it is for us. So, yeah, it's great that I think Hornsey's going over there now as well, and Jacob. So, yeah, I'll be taking a few with me for sure. That's the plan. But like I said, all along, we've been building for the last 18 months, or, you know, 12 months towards getting ready for a World Cup. And the best preparation we're going to get is next week. You know, we've come together, we've had a solid win, but we'll be tested more next week. And I'm looking forward to these guys rising to that challenge, because we want to come out of this Pacific Champs with some confidence coming into the World Cup. And there's still a hell of a lot of players that aren't in the side that could come into this side, so it's looking good for next year. But the biggest, like I said, we've got to drill down now on the performance next week and make sure that we understand the areas that allow us to play the footy we like to play and the things that put us under pressure. And if we're honest with that and we fix that, we'll give it a good shout.
Great work. And Jamie, one thing that really stood out for me during that game from Jason was the fact that he was actually wearing a billum on the sidelines there. Where was that billum from that he was wearing around his neck?
So normally all the billums that I actually didn't watch the full match, because I'm back home and we have a bit of power situation here. So I was watching midway through the second half and my phone just died out. So I didn't get to watch the full match, only to come online and see the full results, which PNG won. So if I actually saw the billum, then I would know. But to be honest, most of the billums that we have come from the Highlands region, well, except for the Strain billums, which are from the Mumase region. So I'm assuming it's a billum from the Highlands.
Okay, fair enough. Well, you know, this segment is not gum and stopware. I'm not trying to pick the lie here, whether you were there or not. You could have just you could have made that out. You could have made it up. You could have ran with it and said you were there. But anyway, I'm glad that you've told the truth there. And we are going to now play a chat from Fia, who caught up with Ashley Balu. Yeah, Ashley Balu is a Samoan super athlete. They talk about her rugby journey as she's been in various spaces, such as in the Black Ferns 15, the General Black Ferns wider squad, Super Rugby All Picky. And we get to hear from her as we discuss who she is on the field and off it, of course. And Fia started by asking her to talk us through her recent tour and travelling to South Africa.
I guess just another step forward to the main team. Great coaching to be around, great people to be around. You learn off people, and there was a lot that I could take away from both camps that I've been to. I really enjoyed my time over in South Africa, something I never imagined myself being over there, first of all, but overall, it's just been unreal. Playing over there was real fun. Had a good time over there. Got to meet some cool people who I call mates now. And just a lot of experience. And I guess the Springbok women's team were quite dominant in some bits of the game. But I couldn't be more grateful to be in that space and to be nominated as well. To go and be in that team is unreal.
And we'll just talk about your super season for 2025. How did this season feel mean to you?
Mentally, I would say 50-50. There were like times where I was at my highest. There were also times where I was at my lowest, but I couldn't be more blessed and grateful to the coaches and the management for keeping me going and keeping me in the game.
We've got three seasons all under 2025 with Supers, Lake Friends XB and FPC. What is something you've learned being around these environments that's been key throughout your journey so far?
I would say expressing more of myself. Don't hold back what you feel and how you feel, what you feel. No question is a dumb question. Just be confident and just have faith that you can do it. What I got out of those three teams is just yourself. You can go far if you put your mind to it and hard work pays off.
What are you most proud about for yourself?
For me is loving it, loving the game, different to how I started. Played for fun and just, you know, just bring my boots here. I'll play for Super 2022 and that's when I did get my sort of, and I guess see the light. Yeah, I've really enjoyed being in those three spaces, especially the group to be around and meet a lot of people who I call mates.
When times are tough, give us an insight on what you do or lean towards to help you, drive you to keep showing up. The game itself also demands a lot from you, mentally and physically.
Anytime I get ahead of myself or mental day, you know, just one of those days, usually I would reach out to my people and just a casual talk normally get me back to my feet, or just having my time on my own and reflecting on what I could have like done better and then just learning from mistakes. You only grow if you learn from what mistakes you did in the first place. Journaling can also help me, just writing out my thoughts. But now I'm truly, I guess, blessed with the game as well. It also teaches you how much of a human body can actually work. Being in the space of rugby has just taught you like so many things that you can use off field.
What would you tell younger self or Ashley? You are now, what you know, and like how far you've come.
That's a good question. I would say you made it, and well, for me, I feel like I've made it. It's a big where I thought that I couldn't be in. I would also tell her that I'm proud of her for staying in the fight and holding on. I guess I'm pretty proud of how far I've come and accomplished so much being on my own and away from family. I never imagined myself being away from my family. Just a lot of growing up had to be done where I am today. And I guess for just keeping that spark of belief that is there, but still find the 100% spark of belief that I have in me, get down with me. It's hard being away from my family. I'm a big family person, and I just like to be around my people. And I guess what I found here is you can also find your people, just like the people back at home. And I guess me, it's what I found in my friends that I've made here and friends that I call family here. I guess it made me see the bigger picture that home will always be there, but it comes a time where you just need to spread your wings and just go and make something for yourself.
And for me this week, I chatted to Moana Liebrechts, who is a young Tongan Dutch basketballer who has represented Fiji on multiple stages. I asked her how her family made it to the beautiful islands of Fiji.
Yeah, so my parents, they came here from Tonga. They met in Tonga and they decided to come to Fiji because I think it's a bit more their lifestyle, seeing that my dad is also from Europe. Yeah, I was born and raised here, so I decided to just represent Fiji in sports.
Beautiful. And when you say your dad is European, is he Dutch? Is he Tongan?
Yes.
So not Tongan Dutch, just full Dutch?
So my dad's full Dutch and my mom is full Tongan, and she's from Longalonga in Tonga.
Oh, from Longalonga.
And then I have a mix and that comes me.
That is fascinating that your old man's Dutch and been over in Europe, and he found one of the most, the tiniest islands to live on. Like, how did he get from there to Tonga?
I think he didn't want to stay in Europe. He decided he wanted to go and explore the world, and he ended up in the most beautiful island in Tonga. And so, yeah, that's how he met my mom.
So now in Fiji, grew up there, born and raised there, so Fijian. Can you speak Fijian and speak Tongan?
On that aspect, I'm very plastic. I would say I'm...
No, you can't use the word plastic. You're either still learning or...
Thank you. I'll put it that way. I'm still learning, getting there slowly. I think I am more on the Fijian language side. I don't really speak it fluently, but I do understand quite a lot. And for the Tongan one, we're working on that.
Beautiful. Man, well, if you're going to be trilingual, like, there's no form of being plastic at all if you're learning three languages. That's a lot more than most people, that's for sure. And growing up in Fiji, what was that like for you as a kid?
Growing up here, I really enjoyed it. I don't think I would want to stay anywhere else or have a childhood anywhere else. It was a good balance of modern living as well as the rural lifestyle. You also experience to a lot of different cultures and religions here in Fiji compared to the other Pacific islands. So I could say that I have friends from every different ethnic background and religious background.
And where did sport fit in with your upbringing?
So growing up, I was always a swimmer. I thought my mind and goals were set on the Olympic Games to represent Fiji as a swimmer on that one. Until I got into high school. So I have three brothers. They're all very tall and they're just naturally drawn to basketball. So as soon as I got into high school, I went to high school that's very basketball dominant. So I was naturally drawn in. I had no choice by my brothers and by the school. And I just switched. I learned to love team sport because I was so used to individual sports growing up. And just that aspect of unity and having teammates really drew me to basketball. And from then on, it's just been basketball full force.
No rugby in there, being a rugby mad country, Fiji, no?
No, I prefer to stay in the stands.
And how old were you when you had that dream or that goal to go to the Olympic Games? How old were you then to have that thought?
Pretty young, actually. I think I was already, eight maybe, and I used to joke with my dad that I'd get the Olympic sign tattoo if I actually went to the Olympics, but I don't think that's in the mix right now.
Still plenty of time, you never know, but where did that drive come from?
I think just me being competitive, growing up with brothers. I have no sisters, so growing up with brothers, it's always who's better at this, who's better at this. And I think that force really encouraged me to go through with that dream. I also wanted to be better than them, seeing that, you're this one's little sister, you're this one's little sister. I wanted to make a name for myself.
I believe, were you 15 when you made your debut?
Yeah, so I was 15. We started at the under 15 Oceania National Competition that was held in PNG. And I was the captain for that one as well.
Yeah, and what was that like as a young teenager representing your country and doing that for the very first time? What were those feelings like?
Yeah, so I think representing Fiji, I was already used to it from swimming, but transitioning into basketball, it was a very different ball game, I would say, because now we're in a team sport. I have to look after everyone else. I don't have to just focus on me. I have to also work with the coach and our managers as well. But it was the first experience for everyone in the team. And I think that made me feel more at ease knowing that I don't have to, the pressure is not only on my shoulders, but we learned a lot from that. And I think that was the starting point of my whole career.
At the end of the day, you have sport that has wins and losses on a scoreboard, but there is a deeper meaning that goes beyond sport and you're an inspiration and that's why you are a leader. Where did those leadership qualities come from for you to always be recognized to be a captain?
I think my mom is also my biggest inspiration. She's always encouraged me to be the best that I can be as well as confident. I think I've also relayed and showed that to all my other teammates, and I think that's why they chose me to be captain.
And those messages that you just said around being an influence and opportunities for young girls to come through, why is that so important for yourself to have that message put out there, but also not to just talk about it, but also actually live it?
Yeah, so I think in the basketball aspect, we know that basketball is a male-dominant sport. And being here in the islands, it's even more just male-focused. You always get the attention to the men's team, everything. Basketball, you think, it's the boys, it's the boys. And I think for me, putting that out there to the younger girls that, girls can do it too. Girls have the same opportunity. We may sometimes get a better outcome than the boys, but that's not really portrayed to the media. I think that's one big aspect for that, as well as, you know, in the island culture, the men are always in the spotlight. The men are always the ones making the decisions. And I think showing that side of the community that girls also have this opportunity, girls can also do this, really speaks volumes to them that women can also be and equally in the same field as them.
Change is definitely happening for our women across the Pacific, you know, representing sport, representing their country in sport, also playing a contact sport. There's more of a media lens, more opportunities. Where else would you like to see the growth, though? Like, because it still seems a very, still a long way behind the men's game, but it is getting to where it needs to be. But where would you like to see that other area of growth to accelerate that?
Yeah, so for me, I think a big one, I think a few months ago, I went to Australia for the Women in Lead program held by FIBA Oceania. And that really opened up my mind to seeing that basketball is more than just playing on the court, but it's also the management aspect and everything behind the scenes. Fortunately for us, Fiji Basketball has finally have a women's president that's running our federation. And I think that's a big start. But I want more women involved in our managing and our manager roles, leading behind the scenes, running more basketball-led competitions, running our development programs as well. And I think women are starting to slowly come in. We've also had our first female referees that have gone to our previous competitions. And I think that's it's a great start, honestly, seeing that women are more involved in managing as well as coaching roles. Yeah.
How old are you?
22,
and you already have the wisdom to be able to see the sporting landscape as just more than being dribbling a basketball and playing and having wins and losses on a scoreboard. Like, that is, yeah, I'm blown away by that answer. And you're right. Like, even if you're not playing and making an impact on the court, there's other ways you can influence through administration. You can be a physio. You can be a team manager. Can be so many things and stay involved and have an influence. Absolutely love that answer. And just on probably another area where you could potentially end up in sport when you finish up, which is still a long, long, long time away. But I believe you're studying medicine as well. Is that right?
Yes, I'm a third year medical student. I'm studying Bachelor of Surgery and Bachelor of Medicine.
What made you want to go down that path?
You know, growing up, I would always see everyone in my family behind a computer, and I told myself I don't want to do that. And I think that led me into the medical field, but I didn't know what I wanted to specify in, or if I wanted to become physio or stay in the lab. And I was first exposed to the hospital in my first year, and I knew that this is my passion. I want to help people that are in need. You know, in Fiji, there is a lot of poverty, as already mentioned, and we don't get experience to a lot of the medical facilities that the overseas patients get to. We sometimes don't have our MRI machine working. It's expensive for CT scans. And I think that just that environment has really inspired me to go into the medical field.
Man, you could just give me goosebumps in the fact that, like, as a kid, you had goals to go to the Olympics, and then you had another goal to be a doctor. Like, two of the hardest things you could ever do, I believe, in my eyes, and you've set out to do that, and you're on track to do both. Like, that is very impressive. Do you ever have time to think, like, okay, am I really doing this? Is it too hard? Like, why am I doing this? Do you ever have those moments of doubt?
Yeah, I do every day, maybe every second, because sometimes I don't get a break. I just got back from the Solomon Islands last week and straight into exams next week. So my mind is usually everywhere, but I take time to just have me time for myself in the morning, say my prayer, do my journaling, and ensure that I'm sane.
How does faith help with keeping you grounded and making sure that when those tough times do come, because they're always just around the corner, how does your faith help you stay the course?
Yeah, so growing up, we were always faith-based. We always went to church, Sunday school. Growing up, you know, mom always brought that Tongan aspect into it, and I'm so grateful she did. Even in our Fiji team, we were instilled by the seniors, and we still do it today, that we have devotion every morning, every evening, and it's always two people leading it. Faith is always one thing that remains center for me. I always remind myself that, you know, all these gold medals, all these opportunities that you're given is all from God. It's never a label that's taken around with you. Everything that you've achieved, all these moments, the ups and downs, these are God's lessons and God's blessings as well. I always tell the girls in my team that, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that verse is always said in our team huddles when we are losing, when the scoreboard is not on our side, when the board and the ball is not on our side as well as our shots. We always keep reminded that, you know, when God is with us, who can be against us?
You're walking with faith and you're walking tall and proud. Absolutely love hearing your messages, especially for a young female coming through. And the lights have just gone off here in our studio. So perfect. We'll just do it, the rest of it in the dark. We haven't got too much longer to go. But when I think about what you've achieved so far, and there's still much more to achieve, what would be your main message to young girls in Fiji and across the Pacific about going after something, going after a goal, being ambitious?
Yeah, so I would encourage them just to do it. It's so easy to say, but I know in growing up, and I've had this experience myself, that there's always someone that will stop you. There's always someone that will say you can't do it, or always someone talking negative about you. But if you remain faith-based, if you're confident, and if you really want to do it, you can do it. I've always had setbacks in my life. I've always asked myself, can I do this? How can I manage school and basketball at the same time? And I'm constantly reminded that, you know, God doesn't give us something that we can't handle. And if he does, he'll be with us through it all.
You've, as mentioned, medicine and potentially the Olympics, big dreams, big goals. You're on track. What else can you see in the future for yourself? What else do you have actually time for if you did put your mind to it? But where do you see yourself, you know, when you look back, say in 10 years' time, what else would you have loved to have achieved?
Yeah, in 10 years, I would love to achieve a coaching license maybe. I think I've always wanted to be a player, but looking at it, I've been inspired from the different coaches that I've had to be a coach and relay all the information that I've learned, all the experiences that I've learned to the upcoming generation, not only for the girls, but as well for the boys. I wouldn't mind being a male coach or a female coach. And I think I've already started on that. I'm already part of our Bulla Hoops program. That's our after-school basketball program that teaches kids in high school and primary school just the basics of basketball. And that really has opened up my mind to, you know, my mind and my heart to the passion of being a coach. I think apart from the basketball aspect, I think my main passion is also medicine and studying. I would love to be a doctor already. I'd love to already be treating people and fulfill that aspect in my life as well.
All right, massive thank you to Moana, and also a big thank you to Fia, who brought in that chat from Ashley Bolo and Jamie. Of course, you're always doing amazing work. We love hearing about the wonderful stories of our amazing sporting talent from across the Pacific.
Fresh off the dome.
Yes, before we go, we do like to test your knowledge of sport in the Pacific, and we're going to play Fresh Off the Dome. Every week, I'll ask three questions, and Jamie, you know the drill. It's just you versus you. This time, it's just pride on the line, just for yourself. You don't have to use your buzzer if you don't want to. Just if you know the answer, just jump on in and see if you're going to get it right. But of course, you can play along at home as well. Jamie, are you ready for Fresh Off the Dome?
100% ready.
100% ready. Okay, so it's just you this time. No other competition, so the pressure should be off. And I'll go question number one. So this is multiple choice, and it's going to be for netball. The Silver Ferns fell to the Australian Diamonds last night, with Australia regaining the Constellation Cup. How many goals did the Silver Ferns lose by? Is it A1, B3, or C4?
I didn't watch that match, but I will take a wild guess and go with C.
That wild guess is wrong. It was A. It was one point. Ooh. It was 1 point. It was a nail biter of a game, with the Silver Ferns initially taking the lead, but losing players due to injury in the final minutes of the game really hurt them, and the Diamonds ended up scraping through to the very end to become the champs there. So congratulations to the Aussies. Let's go to question number two. Star American forward Alyssa Pilley is set to be sidelined for more than a month after suffering an injury during Geelong Venom's loss to Sydney over the weekend. Which part of her body did she injure?
Can you repeat the question again?
I didn't write these questions. I'm just going to throw it out there. I got no idea who wrote these questions. In the game of basketball, star American forward Alyssa Pilley is set to be sidelined for more than a month after suffering an injury during Geelong Venom's loss to Sydney over the weekend. Which part of her body did she injure? Think of basketball, think of what they do, and think what's probably the most common type of injury or body part they may injure.
Is it a multiple choice or should I take a wild guess on this?
You just go wild here, because even when I did give you your multiple choice, you went wild and you were off the mark. So this time, go wild again and see how you go.
All right. I'm going to go with an ACL.
That wasn't wild enough. It was her ankle. She suffered a high ankle sprain. I shouldn't be laughing at that. That's actually... I hate those type of injuries, but she did suffer a high ankle sprain midway through the second quarter of her WNBL debut after scoring a bucket and landing awkwardly. Hopefully the recovery goes well and she could be back on the court by November. But let's get to question number three. This is the closest number wins. Okay, it was announced earlier this week that the Flying Fijian superstar Nemanja Nadola Kundrani was recently appointed as the Fijian Drua's new development coach. Nemanja is the Flying Fijian's second highest try scorer of all time. But with how many tries? How many tries has he scored?
The closest number?
Yeah, go the closest number. On how many tries Nemanja Nadola has scored. He's been capped for, I think, 30 times for the Flying Fijians. So I reckon he's got a pretty good strike rate, but... that's my clue.
I'm going to go with 50.
50 tries in 30 games. You reckon he's nearly scoring a double every single game? I like your wild guesses, but are you going to lock that one in? I'll let you rethink it. It's not 50. 50 is too high. 50 is too high.
All right. You want me to rethink? Okay. I'm going to go a bit higher than that and say 75.
75 tries in 30 games is what you're guessing.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to lock that one in right now because, yeah. I have no other numbers to call. The next one I call up.
Yeah, look, I tried to give you a helping hand here because, look, the strike rate for Nemanja is you know, out of this world when it comes to him scoring tries. But you're talking about nearly three tries every game in 30 games. He's good, but he's not that good. It was 21 tries he scored. It was 21.
Oh, my gosh.
75. Oh, my gosh. Goodness, that'll do me. He scored 242 points in total because he was a goal kicker as well. He was the biggest. I think you probably have the Guinness Book of World Records for the biggest ever goal kicker, I reckon, across league and union. But anyway, he is the man, and we wish him all the best with the draw. I've got no doubt the younger generation will learn a lot from the big man, but... that brings us to the end of the show for this week. A big thank you to you, Jamie Huddle. You had to carry the load there for a little bit, so all by yourself, but thank you to us.
Thank you, Sam. It's always fun coming on the show and sharing what I have, not just from Papua New Guinea, but also in the Pacific and, you know, having fun while we're at it. So thank you. Thank you to us.
Nah, thank you so much. I love hearing about your wild answers as well in Fresh Off the Dome. 75 tries for Nems. I'm going to let him know about that. But anyway, thank you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with two new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region. And this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.